Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Friday, January the 6th. And I'm talking to you from a very cold Dallas, where tonight the temperatures are dropping to 18 degrees. We're not really used to that here in Dallas too much. So when that happens, we freeze, as we are doing today. We had some snow flurries this afternoon, which, of course, is always a lot of fun here in Texas. But you know what? This just gives us a very good excuse this weekend to do nothing but watch football games. And we'll have a few things to say about the upcoming football games this weekend. Today we're going to talk a little bit about the Trump transition. We're going to talk a little bit about the Obama legacy. I have a post about that Saturday morning. We're going to talk about the Mexican peso, which is right now not doing too well, dropping considerably. And then, of course, we'll have some predictions at the end of the show about the games this weekend. But the two big stories today that I wanted to talk about, of course, is terrible tragedy down in Florida. I don't really have a lot of details about what happened, just the sketchy details that apparently somebody walked into the airport. I guess it was already inside the airport and started shooting people. I mean, just total insanity. It just makes you wonder what is wrong with the country when something like that happens. Of course, everybody's going to start talking about gun control. I don't know what kind of gun law would have stopped somebody from doing this. I mean, tell me which law would have stopped it, and maybe I'll listen to you. But just a terrible tragedy. As I understand, 5 people are dead. 8 others are in the hospital. And, you know, you have a situation where a lot of us have traveled on Fridays. Fridays is usually a day that a lot of business people are returning home. So you wonder how many of these people who were killed or injured were in that situation, you know, people who were on their way home or whatever from a business trip. It's just an absolutely insane. I mean, it just leaves you speechless when you hear about things like this. On the more positive side, you know, I wrote a post today over at the American Thinker talking about El Día de los Reyes, which is a Spanish holiday that all of us grew up celebrating. This is the day that the three wise men, according to the New Testament, this is the day that the three wise men showed up to see the baby Jesus, and they brought him some gifts. Well, that over the centuries became the day that most of the kids in the Spanish-speaking world would get their gifts. So when I was a little boy, you know, just like kids here in the United States go to bed early and write letters to Santa Claus and all that kind of stuff, we used to do the same thing with the three wise men. You know, we used to get the gifts from them. And it was a great, great tradition. It was something that obviously we don't do that anymore. We, like a lot of other people, have converted to the Santa Claus and the American Christmas. But in my mind, you know, I still remember this holiday and how much fun it was when I was a kid growing up in Cuba, and even when we first came to the United States. It is really very much of a Latin American holiday now in many countries. It is still practiced and followed by many people who still celebrate. They go to bed early and on the night before, and they wake up and the gifts are there by the Christmas tree or whatever it may be. It's just a beautiful holiday and something that I have long, long memories of growing up, as I say, as a kid in a Spanish Catholic culture. El Día de los Reyes, or the Day of the Kings, or we used to call them Reyes, or we used to call them Kings in Spanish. In English, of course, it's the three wise men. But in Spanish, we used to call them Reyes or Kings. And I don't know why the distinction or why it turned out that way other than it did. And as I said before, it was really one of the most beautiful holidays that we had growing up, and something extremely that I'm very fond of when I think of my young days, you know, when I was a little boy or whatever. It was just something that I'm very fond of, the memories of this particular day. Before we move on, I want to tell you that I've got a couple of friends that I want you to check on. You can go to the show information and see what I'm talking about right there, which says click here for some of our friends. The first one says residential electricity rates. Well, if you're in Texas and you're shopping for electricity rates, I want you to click on that. When you go to the website, you put in your zip code, and you'll get some rates. And that's probably something you want to do anyway if you're shopping for rates. So why don't you click on that, go to that link. Maybe we can help you save some money on your electricity rates. I think everybody can save money at this time and age. The next line says audible.com. You know, we've been promoting audible.com on our show for a couple of years. This is a wonderful website where you go and you can download audiobooks. And, I say it every week, that the two most important things that I can tell you about this website, number one, they have a lot of inventory. And number two, they've got a lot of promotions. So if you go in there, you're going to find a lot of books, and they make it very easy for you to download a book. So check out my friends at audible.com. And if you're looking for electricity, check out my friends at Residential Electricity Rates. I've got a post coming out Saturday morning. It's these updates that I've been doing on the Obama legacy. You may remember that back in 2009, President Obama was awarded the Nobel Peace Prize. It happened like within 6 months of his presidency. And I think a lot of people, even some of his supporters, were a bit surprised that that President Obama would get the Peace Prize, you know, even when he wasn't around for 6 months. I mean, and some of the incredible silly things that they said to give him the Peace Prize, you know, the Nobel Peace Prize, that, you know, he was a great man of peace who was going to bring the world together and bring so much joy to the world. It's just total nonsense. Well, obviously, when you look at his legacy now, 8 years later, it even looks even more silly. And the article that I have at the American Thinker on Saturday morning talks about the fact that just last year, the United States dropped 27,000 bombs in the Middle East, Syria, Libya, wherever we're fighting, Iraq, obviously, we're using our air power to support some of the ground activities and to go after terrorism. And we dropped 27,000 pounds or 20,000 bombs in 2016. This is an article that came out at the Associated Press. And I've got to believe that the people who gave President Obama the Nobel Peace Prize have to look at that information, have to look at those 27,000 bombs and ask themselves, do we get to undo this? Because the reality is that the last thing that President Obama has done is to create peace. His policies have actually made it more likely that there's going to be a war, whether it's in Iraq and Syria, or even with Russia. His policies of weakness have allowed China to expand, have allowed Russia to basically do whatever Putin wants to do, including this recent stuff about the hacking of our elections or attempts to upset the electoral process, although there's no evidence that it changed the results. Nevertheless, the mere idea that they would try to do something like that is pretty shocking. And the whole thing, it seems to me, is that the last thing that President Obama has done is to make the world more peaceful. In fact, I think he's made it more dangerous. So this is another example of the Obama legacy just falling completely apart. The legacy of President Obama is, frankly, that he divided the country. He was very divisive in his approach to a lot of issues. And at the same time, that he made the world unsafe. And that's really his legacy. And I fear that President Trump, when he gets in, he's going to have to deal with these things. He's going to have to deal with these problems. And some of them are not going to be very pretty, like Syria, like North Korea, like Russia. These are not going to be pretty problems or easy to fix. And a lot of them is because they've been made worse by the policies of President Obama. So that's really his legacy, that he's made the world not more peaceful, but in fact more likely to have a war because of the weakness that President Obama exhibited so much around the world. You know, over the last couple of months or so, we've been talking a great deal about Mexico and, of course, Mr. Trump and Mexico. And it looks like the Mexican peso, this is a very interesting story, the Mexican peso has been sinking and has sunk to a new low. And for those of you who may not be familiar with the story, Mexico used to fix its currency for a long, long time. And then in the mid-90s, it decided to float the currency, meaning letting the currency go up or down based on market situations. And it worked rather well for about 20 years. But now the peso is dropping. And this is a real problem for Mexico because, on one hand, it makes it more expensive for Mexicans to do business outside of Mexico. It makes the dollar more expensive. But on the other hand, it's actually helpful for Mexico because it makes Mexico cheaper for tourists. And it makes investment in Mexico a lot more attractive because not only is the when the peso drops, the cost of labor and the cost of doing business in Mexico for foreign companies also gets better. So it's a really complicated situation. I don't think that it has as much to do with Donald Trump as some people might think. I don't think that the peso started to drop because Donald Trump wants to build a wall or Donald Trump wants to bring these jobs back to the United States. Most of these jobs, I mean, these 1,400 jobs or whatever that were supposed to go to Mexico from that company in Indiana, I don't think that changing that program is going to make the peso drop like this, or the other company that was going to go down there and then came back. The problems with Mexico are more structural than simply whatever Donald Trump may have said in the campaign. But it is something to watch because when the peso drops in Mexico, very often Mexicans overreact and they begin to, you have a certain amount of capital flight, and that just, you know, puts Mexico in a very scary economic situation. So over the next few months, we're going to have to keep an eye on the peso because whenever their economy drops, obviously immigration to the United States increases a great deal. Well, there's some ball games this weekend, if you didn't know. And I think given the problems with the weather, I was just watching a weather report a few minutes ago. And from coast to coast, it looks like it's going to be nasty. It's going to be cold, unless you live, I guess, in Miami or San Diego. It's going to be a cold weekend, or at least for much of the country. So what a great weekend to sit back with your family and enjoy ball games. And I think we've got some good ones. So let me make a few predictions about these ball games coming up. The first one is Houston versus the Oakland Raiders. I'm going to go with Houston on this one. I think the Houston Texans are going to win. The second one is Green Bay versus New York Giants. This is one of the greatest games, I think, one of the greatest playoff games that we've had in quite some time. I mean, these are two very good teams that unfortunately one of these two teams is going to be eliminated Saturday afternoon. But these are really good clubs, and they're both playing very well. And one of these two clubs is going to eventually play the Cowboys. So obviously we Cowboys fans have a lot invested in this game. I think Green Bay is going to win. I think it's going to be a very close game. It'll come down to the last minute or so. But I think Green Bay is going to win. The game is going to be played in Green Bay, which means the weather is probably going to be a factor in this game. The next day, you've got Miami at Pittsburgh, and I'm going to go with the Steelers on that one, again, because I think the weather could end up helping the Steelers. The Steelers are always tough in the postseason anyway, so I'm going to go with Pittsburgh. And the last game has the Detroit Lions in Seattle. I'm going to go with Seattle, but if there's an upset this week, if there's a game that has the potential of an upset, if there's that one game that could actually go the other way, could very well be the Lions at Seattle. I don't know why, but the Lions are playing well. Seattle is always tough at home. So I'm going to think Seattle. Seattle is the team that everybody's betting on. But I wouldn't be surprised if the Detroit Lions beat Seattle for that particular game. I just think these are really four good games. I think the NFL has done itself a lot. Maybe these games will help the NFL get its ratings back, although I'm not sure that that's going to happen just because of this weekend. Thank you very much for listening to our show tonight. We'll get back with you on Sunday with our friend Bill Katz, the editor of Urgent Agenda, and we'll have probably a little bit more information on what happened in Fort Lauderdale and this killing and this terrible tragedy down in Florida. Have a great weekend, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, where it's, again, very cold. Good night, everybody.